Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a clean kick weight system for a rag infused drum and bass edit inside Ableton Live 12. And this is a really important skill, because in DNB, especially in edits, the track can get wild fast. You've got chopped breaks, ragga vocal hits, moving bass, fills, switch ups, and all that energy flying around. So the kick can't just be big. It has to stay punchy, audible, and stable while the arrangement gets chaotic. Think of the kick as the anchor. The tune can go off the rails in a good way, but the kick keeps the whole thing locked to the floor. We're going to do this with stock Ableton tools, simple routing, and beginner-friendly moves. No fancy trickery needed, just clear decisions, one step at a time. First, open a new live set and set the tempo to 174 BPM. That's a classic drum and bass zone, and it works really well for rag-infused edits. Create a few tracks, one for the kick, one for breaks, one for bass, one for vocal chops or regga hits, and one for FX. Keep the session organized from the start, because when you're working in fast music, clarity is power. Now let's think about the structure. Don't jump straight into a full busy pattern. Start simple. Maybe the intro has a sparse kick, a filtered break, and a little vocal teaser. Then the build adds more break energy, but the kick stays controlled. On the drop, the kick hits with the bass and the breaks. And for the switch up, pull the kick out for half a bar or a bar, then bring it back hard. That space matters. In drum and bass, silence or reduction can make the return feel huge. Now choose a kick sample. We want body, not just click. So pick a kick that already has some low-end weight, but isn't super boomy with a long tail. If the kick is too thin, it'll disappear. If it's too long, it'll fight the bass and smear the low end. Drop the sample into simpler if you want a beginner-friendly workflow. Turn warp off for a one-shot sample. Make sure the start point is right on the transient so the hit comes through immediately. Set the gain so it's strong, but don't clip it. If the kick needs a little more density, try drum bus after it. Keep it subtle. A little drive can help. A small amount of boom can help. And a touch of transience can bring the punch forward. But don't overdo the boom. In DNB, too much low-end kick tail can make the whole drop muddy very fast. Now shape the kick so it stays punchy. If you're using simpler, keep the attack at zero. Make the decay and release short enough that the body stays, but the tail gets out of the way. You want a kick that hits, speaks, and disappears before it clouds the bass line. If it feels muddy, use EQ8. You might cut a bit around 200 to 400 Hz if the kick sounds boxy. If the kick is weak, you can gently support the low area around 50 to 80 Hz. But be careful. In rag-infused DNB, the bass usually owns the real sub. The kick often works better when it speaks a little higher, around that 90 to 120 Hz punch zone. That's a really important mindset shift. Don't always chase giant sub on the kick. Often, translation matters more than size. A kick that reads clearly with the bass and breaks is better than one that looks huge on the meter but vanishes in the full mix. Now let's build the relationship between kick and bass. This is where a lot of beginners accidentally lose the low end. The kick and the bass should share space, not fight for the exact same moment. Make a simple bass line in Operator, Waveedable, or a sampled bass in Simpler. Keep the sub mono, and try to leave little gaps for the kick to speak. Even a tiny shift in timing can make a huge difference. If the bass is sustaining too long, shorten it or automate the volume down around the kick hit. You can also use compressor with sidechain from the kick to the bass. Keep the settings moderate. A little ducking is enough. You want space, not a giant pumping effect unless that's a deliberate style choice. A good starter approach is a ratio around 2:1 to 4:1, a fairly quick attack, and a release that lets the bass recover naturally. The goal is to clear a pocket for the kick, so the low end stays clean and powerful. Next, group your kick layers or route the kick to its own bus. Even if you only have one kick sample, treating it like a bus gives you control. On that group, you can add a little EQ cleanup, a lightly set glue compressor, and maybe some gentle saturator for density. Again, subtle is the move. A couple of dB of gain reduction at most on the glue compressor is usually plenty. For saturator, a small amount of drive and soft clipping can help the kick feel more solid without making it oversized. If the kick disappears in busy sections, you can add a tiny click layer. This is optional, but really useful in ragga, jungle, or break-heavy edits. Use a short click sample, or a very short percussion hit high-passed around 500 Hz to 1K Hz and place it with the kick. Keep it low in the mix. The job of the click is only to help the kick translate through the breaks and vocal chops. Now comes the fun part, arranging the kick around the ragga vocals. This is what makes it an edit instead of just a loop. Let the kick hit before the vocal phrase starts. Pull it out for a half bar when the vocal is the main focus. Then bring it back on the next downbeat with confidence. In arrangement view, duplicate your kick clip. Mute or remove hits around key vocal moments and create small gaps before fills or drop returns. A simple move like cutting the kick for the last half of a bar can make the next bar feel much heavier. That tension and release is a huge part of DNB energy. Now add some automation to make the kick system feel alive. You do not need to change everything at once. In fact, don't. Make one decision at a time, so you can actually hear what improve the sound. Try automating drum bus transients a little higher in the second half of a drop, or push saturator drive up by a small amount for a switch up. Maybe pull the kick level down by about a decibel in a breakdown so the vocal breathes, then open it back up when the drop lands. You can even use a quick kick mute or filter move right before a vocal shout that creates a little impact frame, where the silence makes the return feel massive. Now let's check the low end properly. Put utility on your bass track or on the master if needed. Make sure the bass is mono, and keep the kick centered. If your low end sounds huge in headphones, but weak on speakers, it usually means the bass is too wide, the kick tail is too long, or the kick and sub are overlapping too much. A really good habit here is to listen at low volume. If the kick still reads quietly, that usually means the balance is right. Low volume listening is a great translation test. You're asking, can I still feel the groove when it's not loud? If yes, you're on the right track. Once the kick and bass relationship feels good, bounce or resample your drums if you want to do a proper edit pass. This is very useful in DNB. You can render the drums to audio, chop the strongest parts, reverse a tail, remove a hit before the drop, or duplicate a powerful kick for extra impact. That resampling workflow is especially handy for darker jungle or neural-leaning edits, because it lets you shape tension without stacking more plugins. Before we wrap, here are the big mistakes to avoid. Don't make the kick too long. A long tail will fight the bass. Don't boost the kick sub just because you want it to feel bigger. Don't forget the break layer, because in DNB the kick has to live with the hats and snares. Don't over-sidechain the bass until the track feels weak, and don't let the low end get wide and unstable. If you want a few pro moves, here's what to keep in mind. Saturation often works better than volume for making a kick feel louder. A kick that speaks clearly in the mid-range can translate better than a sub-heavy one. A tiny ghost hit before the main kick can make the hit feel stronger. And sometimes, removing the kick for a bar before the drop is the biggest impact move of all. So for your practice, build a 16-bar rag-infused DNB edit at 174 BPM. Use one main kick sample, make a shorter version for busy sections if needed, add a bass line that leaves room, keep the bass mono, create one vocal chop moment where the kick drops out, automate one change in kick character, and make one 1-bar switch up where the kick returns with more force. Then test the whole thing in mono, at low volume, with the bass and breaks playing. If the kick stays clear, the bass leaves space, and the edit feels more exciting than a static loop, then you've built a real kick weight system. That's the goal here, not just a bigger kick, but a cleaner engine under all the chaos. Nice work.